What's up and welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy and thank you for joining us for our week two picks podcast. Big shout out to my guys, Pat Boyle, Cody O'Connor, and Mark Shenlugin holding down the fort for me on week two because I had some prior engagements as Pat gets into. I couldn't be present for the podcast and I might say this might be the first or second ever Subway Sports Talk that I'm not on it. So please stay tuned for some wonderful picks out of Pat, Mark, and Cody. They held down the fort for me while I was gone, but don't you worry, I still got picks for you guys as well. So stay tuned for those three making their picks for week two. And then right when they're done, I'm going to jump back in. I'm going to give my picks for week two as well. Three picks for each of us, me, Cody, Mark, all 2-1 in week one. Pat Boyle, 1-2, looking for a bounce back in his first winning week of the year just here in week two. So again, Subway Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app as well as on YouTube. Notification bell. Drop a comment. Hit us on social at it's at Subway Sports Talk on Instagram, TikTok, X, Twitter, whatever. Doesn't matter. Week two picks. A great time to be alive. Pat, Mark, Cody, all about to give their picks, and then yours truly right after them with my three picks. We'll talk to you in a second. Welcome to Subway Sports Talk.
Dan, clear of the closing doors, please.
And welcome to Subway Sports Talk. I am your fill-in host, Pat Boyle, the great Pete Kennedy, as you all have come to know and love him. He had some prior engagements, so I've got the great Cody O'Connor with me in the bottom of the screen, and I've got Skip Lugian himself, Mark Shenlugian, here as we're going to do our Week 2 NFL picks. You guys know how it goes at this point if you've been listening. This year we're going three picks each, any amount of legs as you'd like, eight teams in one play, sure, why not, if you're Mark Shenlugian. So without further ado, Mark is going to go first. I don't remember our records from last week. I know I went 1-2, and I believe Cody and Mark both went 2-1. Is that right, gentlemen?
Yes, so it appears the eight-leg strategies are working just fine.
All right, so without further ado, Mark, why don't you kick us off? What do you got?
Pat, I'm surprised. No comment on the outfit before I start giving these picks here?
Yeah, you're wearing a Giants jersey, which, you know, you might as well piss on it and throw it down the drain because
Don't even give him the time of day.
You know, I thought I'd just look for, you know, the quarterback of the jersey of a real NFL QB to hop on this beautiful podcast.
Mark, I got to say, the 10-year-old version of yourself, not knowing him, probably would kick your ass if he knew how you're rooting for Dallas, Philly, and the Jets and just throwing shade at the team you call yours. That 10-year-old version of yourself would be disgusted, as I am watching you with that grin on your face and the Eli Manning jersey on.
Well, hey, it is what it is. Perhaps he would be, but I really could care less at this point. So with that, let's get to my first pick this week. A three-teamer, what a shock. Going to go with the Buffalo Bills leg one to beat the Las Vegas Raiders at home. Really just can't see Josh Allen turning the ball over, 3 to 4 times again this week, especially with their home opener and dropping to 0-2. I think that's pretty solid. Leg two, going to go with the San Francisco 49ers on the road against the Rams. Look, I know the Rams went into Seattle and won week one, but to now beat the Niners without Cooper Kupp on top of it, can't see it being done. Brock Purdy yet to lose an NFL game. If this is going to be it, so be it, you know? And then leg three, going to boost the New York Jets and the now best active quarterback that plays at MetLife Stadium with Zach Wilson. Going to boost them up to 21.5 this week going into Dallas at Jerry World. Honestly, the Cowboys, as you all know, won 40-0 week one over the Daniel Jones-led New York Giants. But they will not be doing that again this week. The Jets defense is much better than what the Giants have, and Zach Wilson will play surprisingly clean football this week. They may lose, but they will not lose by more than 21 points. You throw those three together for -105, and that's my first pick for week two.
All
All right, I guess we're just gonna roll this. We're gonna try to do 20 minutes, one third of the time usually when Pete's hosting.
Gotta remember, this is my first picks pod right now, so gotta make sure I got the rotation. No, we didn't do picks. No,
we all did on social media. That's right.
2-1 on my debut, but I didn't get to talk about it. Even though, Mark Shenlugin, we may completely disagree on how you feel about the New York Giants right now, we seem to be in agreement on some of these lines. I've got San Fran money line. Simply, Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. I don't think that Rams roster is good enough. I think it was a little more of an indictment on Seattle. So San Fran money line, I feel good about. And I'm buying Baltimore up to 7.5. I think that is a one-score game either way. Bengals looked really tough last week. I don't know if it's Joe Burrow's calf or whatnot, but they are notorious slow starters, as we said on the pod on Tuesday. I think it's a little bit more of a slow start. Even though I think they could win the game, I think that's a one-score game at worst. So San Fran money line, Baltimore plus 7.5 gets you minus 116 odds. Play number one.
All right, play number one for me. I'm going same game parlay, the tried and true, the true and trusted. And that is off a loss, 10 days rest. Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback. I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, that being said, I'm actually not taking them entirely. I'm hedging here in this same game parlay. So I'm going to take the Chiefs plus 3.5 and over 41.5 with their game in Duval against the Jaguars. It is on the road. I really would not be stunned if the Jaguars walk out of that game with a 3-point win. I don't see any way coming off the loss in which the Chiefs play that badly enough to where they get beat by more than a field goal. And I think you got two high-powered dynamic offenses. I'm expecting Travis Kelce to play. So I know he was a limited participant on Thursday's practice. Again, I'd be stunned if he doesn't play. And if he doesn't, maybe we get an audible for a new pick here. But either way, if Kelsey's playing, the Chiefs are too complete of an offense to not put up enough points to where they're going to get beat by more than a field goal. And the defense did pretty well, right? For as much as we've knocked the Chiefs' defense in years past, and as great as the Lions' offense was last year, they were a top five unit across basically every statistical category. The Chiefs' defense did a really good job with them on opening night. So as good as Jacksonville's offense is and as great as Calvin Ridley looked last week, I think he's going to be a force again. I do think you get enough. I think both teams hit the 20s, obviously. But I do think that Kansas City's defense keeps them in this game. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be stunned if the Chiefs lose. But that's where you get the hedge here with the same game parlay. And I'm expecting plenty of points either way. I think the over hits on its own. So again, you get the same game parlay, giving you a little bit of wiggle room on both sides. Chiefs plus 3.5, over 41.5 against the Jags.
All right, so I guess that brings it back to me. Pat, I'll kind of piggyback off of you here. First leg of this second pick is going to be Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm going to bring them up to 7.5. I, too, wouldn't be shocked if the Jags win this game, but I'm going to go up to 7.5 just in case. Travis Kelce's back. Chris Jones is back. I think 7.5. Honestly, you probably won't even have to check the score until the game's over. Leg two, going to boost the Miami Dolphins up to 4.5 from 3-point favorites on the road at New England. Look, I just think it's their time. Another year of the offense with McDaniel for Tua to get, you know, more familiar. He looked fantastic week one. I just really don't trust the New England Patriots without Tom Brady being a QB. You know, Mac Jones just doesn't cut it for me. So give me the Dolphins plus 4.5 there, and then I'm going to boost the Detroit Lions for leg three as I think 3 to 4. Actually, I think they're up to 5-point home faves. Going to boost them up to 3.5. This just comes down to what I've seen from week one, honestly, with a lot of these leans here. Seattle losing at home to the Rams, now traveling on the road to the Lions off a big opening win against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, some shade was thrown at them by, I believe, Mike Tirico saying, yeah, you know, win comes with an asterisk. Well, I think they're out to, you know, prove that maybe it wasn't so much of an asterisk after week one. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs, for the hope of my fantasy team, gets unleashed a little bit more this week. So we're going to go Chiefs plus 7.5, Dolphins plus 4.5, and then the Detroit Lions at home plus 3.5, minus 110, pick two.
All right. Pick number two, speaking of those Kansas City Chiefs, I've got a straight bet for us here, and that's going to be Tyreek Hill over 84.5 receiving yards. I've seen the number at 83.5 earlier today. It is now 84.5. Other people seem to be on it. He said he's going for 2,000 yards this year. I saw nothing in week one that makes me think otherwise. I think if that team, him, Tua, are healthy, he has every chance to do it. It's a tough defense in Foxborough they're playing, but Tyreek Hill just seems like a mismatch nightmare. Nothing Bill Belichick or any defensive guru can think of can stop this guy when he's got it going. So Tyreek Hill, over 84.5 receiving yards, minus 115. Lock it in.
All right, we get our first player prop. Cody, very confident that the Cheetah is
going to
get.
It's a tough week, Pat, so I had to really do some deep dives into everything to get some good plays for us.
That's fair, and I was going to go two-team parlay here, you know, buy like 6 or 7 points on each, but I'm going the Skip Lugian route. You got a three-game parlay for me here, and the first two legs, just because – I really worry about the Buffalo Bills covering this spread against the Raiders. What is it, 9 right now as we currently speak? 8.5? Look, I think Josh Allen and the Bills bounce back and they win the game. I'm just worried about by how much, because until Josh Allen proves, until I see him actually clean up those turnovers, I still think he's good for maybe 1 or 2, you know, per game right now. And what maybe would be a blowout victory for Buffalo instead might only be by a field goal. Might be a close game until the final couple of minutes here. I do think, and maybe, you know, just saying that, I should be taking the Raiders +8.5, but I still trust that above all else, the Bills win the game. So Bills money line is leg one. Legs two is going to be Cowboys money line. And then for that third leg, to get this, you know, basically down to even odds or your normal minus 110, I'm going with the Ravens, and I'm going to get them all the way up to +12.5. So, you know, again, I gave my analysis on the Bills with the Cowboys. It comes down to two words for me, and that is Zach Wilson. So maybe Mark didn't watch most of Monday night's game after Aaron Rodgers got hurt, trying to say that Zach Wilson is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. He still made the same Zach Wilson plays over and over and over again. And the only reason the Jets won that game is because Josh Allen coughed it away, and the Jets defense, as DJ Reed says, might be historic. They might be that damn good. They were pretty freaking good last year. They might even be better. So, again, with Zach Wilson playing, the Jets' offensive line is not superb. And, you know, as bad as the Cowboys made the Giants' offensive line look, they've got an elite pass rush, right? They're probably going to lead the NFL in sacks this year. So the Jets' offensive line isn't an elite core. It's not a tremendous lineup of dudes that you're rolling across the top five there. I mean, you got 38-year-old Dwayne Brown, who's playing left tackle. I believe Mekhi Becton's already a little bit banged up again, which sucks to see because I was pulling for him to be the left tackle this year. Either way, the Cowboys pass rush is going to get home plenty of time. Zach Wilson is going to be a deer in headlights. And even if the Cowboys offense doesn't do enough to, you know, move the ball consistently down the field, again, they win this game. And then just really quickly with the Ravens +12.5, whereas I think the Bills, as bad as they look, they bounce back. I'm not sold yet that just because it's week two and they're at home that the Bengals are all of a sudden going to snap back to last year. There was a lot of rust that they need to work out. And that offensive line, as much as they have spent on it over the years, is still very suspect in my opinion. I mean, Burrow, you know, again, Browns will have a good pass rush, but come on, Burrow was under siege almost immediately countless times. So I think Baltimore's got a good enough defense. And I don't see any way that Cincinnati looks miles better than they were last week to the point where they're going to win this game by at least double digits. So three-team parlay, Bills money line, Cowboys money line, Ravens +12.5. That gets you minus 111 odds right now on DraftKings.
All right, before I get to pick number three, Pat, real quick, I did watch the Jet game last week, and Zach Wilson looked pretty damn good to me. A lot better than his counterpart, crosstown rival, Daniel Jones.
Tells you all you need to know.
I don't know if you noticed this, but the Duke Blue Devils are shooting for 3-0. I don't know if he'd start for them right now with the way their current QB is playing. I'm quite honest with you, that win against Clemson week one and then another W last week, they may be 3-0 after they take out Northwestern this week. But I digress. Pick three. Two teams for this one. Denver Broncos going to boost them up to 3.5 here from 3-point favorites. Russell Wilson gets Jerry Jeudy back this week. They're at home, and man, the Commanders did not do what they were supposed to do week one against the Arizona Cardinals, and that was blow them out. 1-point win. Look, I still don't trust Russell Wilson all the way. That's why I'm boosting the Broncos to getting 3.5 here, but Russell Wilson might as well retire if they don't cover this teased line. And then leg two, I'm going to boost the Tennessee Titans up from 3-point dogs at home to 7.5-point dogs at home. Chargers come into this game on the road. Defense looked very shaky week one. I just think the Tennessee Titans really make this a Derrick Henry ugly type football game at home. Tannehill doesn't throw 3 interceptions again, and the Titans cover at the boosted spread of plus 7.5 at home for their second game of the year. So give me Broncos plus 3.5, Titans plus 7.5, minus 115, pick 3 as I go for 3-0 this week.
Best of luck to you. Pick number 3. And I'm a little bit nervous about this because we've been throwing the same team around, making me think we're all on the same side. Usually not a recipe for success. But the first leg here, I do think they bounce back. I think they bounce back in a big way. But I'm going to just play it a little safer with the money line on the Buffalo Bills. I do not think Josh Allen is just going to throw the football away all day long against the Raiders, especially at home. I think he can grind that tape, see he made some mistakes, especially the one at the end where he just coughed up a fumble, which is a fluky play. They shouldn't have just escaped that game, but they really could have. So the Bills bounce back. Vegas also has Jimmy G and Davante Adams on the injury report, so I'd keep an eye out on that. Jimmy G, ankle. Davante, ankle. I'm not as worried about their status.
Did we lose Davante Adams? There we go. Cody, we lost you for a second, or maybe I was just lagging. My apologies either way.
I had that with you earlier, so hopefully it comes out clean. But what I was saying was the Raiders have a bit of an injury report. Davante Adams with an ankle, Jimmy G with an ankle. Even if they both play, if they're limited in some way against that great Bills defense, it could cause for a long day. And I'm much more on the side that Russell Wilson, sorry to go against your pick a little here, but I think Russell Wilson just stinks. I've been saying it for a couple years, and I said it on the podcast Tuesday, and I think that was more of them not being as good of a team than the Vegas Raiders coming out. I think they'll play in games. I don't think they are going to win 7, 8, 9 games this year. So Bills money line, leg one. Second leg, I was tossed between two. I am a little worried about it. I asked a couple group chats, and then I went away from what they said. I didn't want to take the same thing everybody said, and I'm going Chiefs money line. Bills money line, Chiefs money line. The Chiefs, if you can get them anywhere close to a money line, if you can get Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid close to a money line, especially coming off a loss, you take it. That's what I've come to know over the past couple years. I would always gladly lose with Mahomes, then go on to the other side. I am, however, just going to be watching that injury report closely, making sure Travis Kelce is playing. They are getting Chris Jones back, which is a huge boost to that defense that you pointed out already played pretty well last week. So if those two things are the case, especially Travis Kelce, Chiefs money line. I was between Chiefs and Saints. So if for some reason Travis Kelce doesn't play, switch out the Chiefs, go with the Saints over the Panthers. Panthers might be the worst team in football. Pick number 3, Bills money line, Chiefs money line, minus 110 on DraftKings, as I look to go 3-0 this week.
All right, and finally, final pick here for me. Speaking of the worst team in football, the New York Giants are going to get a win this Sunday. Isn't that right, Cody? Isn't that right, Mark? Because they are playing, undoubtedly, in my opinion,
lost you, Pat.
The worst team in football. You guys lost me for a second? Yeah.
How about now? And he's gone again.
Now I lost both of you guys.
You guys back now?
Now I got you back.
All right. Hopefully Pete Kennedy can go in the lab and do a little editing on this. Otherwise, apologies for the audio technical difficulties. But undoubtedly what I was saying, the Arizona Cardinals are the worst team in football. Sam Howell and the Commanders tried to give that game away a couple times. You know, final play, final drive of the first half, and Howell's doing a 360 spin-a-rooney right into a sack, strip, fumble, touchdown. So they tried to give that game away. I'm not sold on Washington being a you know, solid team, let alone a 500 team. So coming off the loss, I know that the Giants have the injury scare right now with Andrew Thomas. I think his status is very much up in the air for Sunday. I'm expecting Darren Waller to play. I think they're just, this is what they're going to do all year. It's kind of baby him each week in practice. So overall, right after a 40-0 stinker, the Giants are going to show Skip Lugian and everybody else that, yes, they still are a playoff team. They're going to take care of business on Sunday on the road. Get out of here with Josh Dobbs and this Cardinals team. They stink.
And that's exactly my point, though. Like, you're playing Arizona. They should win. I don't want to hear it. Oh, we're back. Oh, we're back. We're going to do this, that, and that and make the playoffs now. Give me a break.
Okay. I didn't interrupt your picks here. So the Giants money line is leg one.
Mark.
And leg number two
one week at a time.
I'm going to take
one week at a time.
Under.
One week at a time.
I'm going to take this, though. I'm going to take the under for the Dolphins and the Patriots, and I'm going to boost it up to 54.5 because I don't see the Dolphins getting to 30 in this game. As good as they are on offense, it's on the road. It's in Foxborough. Bill Belichick is going to game plan for Tua. He's going to game plan for Tyreek Hill. Patriots still might lose this game, maybe by a touchdown. I just don't see how they give up 30. And on the flip side, the Patriots offensive line has a lot of issues going on right now. I'm pretty sure both the left guard and the right guard, Cole Strange and Mike Nwenu, did not play on Sunday. And they still did a pretty good job, you know, at least hanging in there with Philadelphia. And the Eagles offense looked ugly after the second quarter. But the Patriots defense deserves a lot of credit for what they did to slow them down after falling behind big early. So I straight up don't see a ton of points being scored on a Sunday night. Primetime has been going low for the last couple of years. We know that. So under 54.5 with the Dolphins and the Pats and the Giants money line, that's -105. And those are our three picks for week two in the NFL. Gentlemen, any final parting shots? Any final words here?
Yeah, sure. I'll take a parting shot or a few words here for you, Patio. Let me tell you, this is for you too, Cody. The two of you just better hope that these New York games this week don't go the opposite of how you intend. Otherwise, next week will be much, much worse for you once the Jets win and the Giants lay another egg against Arizona. So that's really all I have to say.
If they lose week two, Mark, I'll be the first to tell you the season's over. And if you listen to the podcast Tuesday, my meter for being worried is it's up a little bit. Not necessarily on Jones, but as the Giants as a whole. I try to be a measured fan.
This is where your panic meter should be for Jones. Right here.
Well done. He's showing a 10, folks.
All right. So I guess that's it. We'll see how they go. Good luck to everybody on your picks. Thanks for listening. Our guy, our father, our daddy, Pete Kennedy, will probably try to cook up some graphics and get those posted on social media. But, of course, you can always listen at Subway Sports Talk. Give a rate, a review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Show some love. And all right, boys, good luck, and we'll see you next week.
All righty. Again, thanks, fellas. Pat, Mark, Cody, appreciate y'all. Hopefully we get four winning weeks this week in week two. We had three last week. We're looking for four winning weeks this week. Those guys just put in their picks. Now it's time for me to put in mine. And I got to tell you, I have a bit of a trend in week two here. Some things that I'm looking for when it comes to these lines, when it comes down to the teams that I'm picking, it's as much of a bet on the team I'm picking as much of it is a bet against the team I'm picking against. Because after week one, we all know this, there's all these market things that happen with the lines and the spreads that move in directions that if you told us 1 week ago, we wouldn't believe some of these things. We wouldn't expect certain lines to be as big or as small as they are. And after week one, you have to realize the NFL can lie to you. I said it in our week one recap on Wednesday. The week one of the NFL is a liar. There's so many times where we see something, we believe it to be true, and instantly we are reminded that it's not the case. And there's more to the story. There's a more nuance. There's more reason why their week one matchup went the way it did, for better or worse, right? You can make the argument for both sides. For example, we can talk about the Seattle Seahawks, the New York Giants, teams that kind of had the week from hell. The Pittsburgh Steelers get thrown into the bunch as well, where everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. The offense didn't play well. It put the defense in a bad spot. The defenses in turn didn't play well. They didn't put up points. They gave up too many, and they got blown out, and it wasn't particularly close. These games are the games that at halftime, if you're watching the actual game or you're watching Red Zone, you're like, well, that one's over. Maybe the Seahawks stink. Maybe the Giants stink. Maybe the Steelers stink. Did we get this one completely wrong? Maybe the Houston Texans are going to compete because they're in it at halftime with the Baltimore Ravens, right? So all these things happen in week one and we start to think to ourselves, oh, this must be true. We just saw it right here. We just saw it happen in week one. It must be true. But I'm here to tell you that's not always the case. And you have to beware of certain lines that look a certain way and don't overreact, right? Every single podcast after week one, let's do overreactions and try to decipher what's wrong with what happened in week one. We all do it. And then week two comes about and so many of us still go back to all the things we saw in week one and just assume it to be happen, right? So that's a little bit of a theme in my week two picks here. So I'm going to give you my three picks. Let's start off with pick number one. I already mentioned it. I'm going to go straight up Seattle Seahawks plus 4.5 at the Detroit Lions. This line was at plus 5.5 to open up at the beginning of the week. But we do our picks at the end of the week. And I didn't get 5.5. I got 4.5, but I'm still okay with that. The Lions-Chiefs game is the perfect example of week one being a liar, right? You leave Thursday night football on week one, opening night, and you say the Detroit Lions are for real. The Chiefs have issues. Their receivers are a problem. And the Lions are good. They flew around on defense. They have good offensive pieces. They're going to be great this year. Let's hit the brakes for 1 second, okay? Week one, especially that Thursday night game, is often deceiving. The Kansas City Chiefs will often get better performances out of their receivers. They will be better. We know they're going to be better, right? The Detroit Lions, in theory, didn't play particularly great in that game. They came away with a great win. However, if you look at just the Detroit Lions and what they accomplished in that game, you're not going to feel that special about what they did. This offense is supposed to be high-powered. I have faith in that offense. I really do. But they didn't put up great numbers. They didn't look awesome against the Kansas City Chiefs. A little week one rust for them as well. However, the overreaction to that is they're playing a team in the Seattle Seahawks, who I'm taking plus 4.5, who had the opposite week. They didn't play well early. They had a horrendous second half where they gained only 12 yards in the second half against the Rams, who kind of took the league by storm in week one and surprised some people, putting them back in the conversation of relevancy. But I don't believe that that's who the Seahawks are. I don't believe that the Lions are giant killers. I don't believe they're going to start running through all the good teams in the league. And 4.5 is just not the right number. After just 1 week, we do not have the information to confirm the Lions are that much better than the Seahawks. Both teams expected to be in the playoff hunt. Now, if you were out on the Seahawks before the year, I could understand why you'd look at this line in an opposite direction. But if you had faith in the Seahawks going into the season that they could be a playoff team, I want to make sure that you're thinking like me and saying they're probably not going to fall on their face offensively every single week. The Detroit Lions defense has gotten a little bit better in the offseason. They showed some of that against the Chiefs, but they're not world beaters. This offense should be good, and it probably will be good. But my bet here, plus 4.5, is that the Seahawks offense shows up. Geno Smith looks a lot better. There is not an Aaron Donald on the Detroit Lions to give him hell, and their offense looks like what we expected it to. On top of that, we're looking at the spread of money, cash, tickets, etc. I look at pregame.com. You know, if you guys are new to Subway Sports Talk Picks, that's a website that I often refer to because it gives you the breakdown, not just of the percentage of who's picking who, but how much money is showing up for each side. And if you see a big differential between the percentage of picks and the percentage of money, that might be telling you something about who is betting on who. Now, it's not perfect. Obviously, if it was, this gambling thing would be a whole lot easier. And it wouldn't be a 55% success rate to be considered good at gambling, okay? But it's a good guideline, and it reinforces something that you may have believed in already. So with the Seahawks-Lions game, again, 4.5, right now 63% of the tickets are on the Detroit Lions with just 50% of the cash. So a 13% swing from ticket to cash, which again would mean that 50% of the cash is on the Seahawks with only 37% of the bets. So that's showing you some of the sharp monies on the Seahawks. And to me, that confirmed my idea that the Seahawks plus 4.5 was too big of a spread. If this game was played a few weeks down the line and they were both 2-2, instead of 1-0 and 0-1, I could feel very strongly that this is a 2.5-3 point spread. And to that, I see value. And to that, I see the Seahawks offense finding a way to get some rhythm, to put some points on the board, keep this game close. Do I think the Seahawks win this game? Perhaps, perhaps not. However, I believe it will be close. I believe we see two high-powered offenses in this game, and I believe the Seahawks do just enough to cover that 4.5, if not win it. You take the 4.5, maybe you sprinkle the money line as well, and you win first bet of the week. My next bet in a similar ilk, another 0-1 team versus a 1-0 team that a little bit, you know, they kind of shocked the world. And that's the Chicago Bears plus 2.5 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Another situation that if I told you a week ago that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be 2.5 point favorites against anybody, you'd be like, okay, fine. Who are they playing? The Panthers? Well, they're playing the Bears. Okay. Are we thinking the Bears are good? Probably not. But are we thinking that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are any good? I'm not convinced that they're going to be great either. It was a hot take to say after week one, this defense is back. They got the talent. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Baker Mayfield, just when you count him out, he's back in. But that's not going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers story. It's going to be a lot more bumpy throughout this season than we saw in week one. And granted, they got outgained in week one by a large margin with the Minnesota Vikings, who we saw put up more points in a losing effort against the Eagles on Thursday night. We saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win that game off of defense and big-time defensive plays. One thing that I really like about the Bears in this situation is the clash of styles goes in their favor. Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they like to blitz. He blitzed on almost 50% of defensive snaps in week one. It worked to some extent against Kirk Cousins, who isn't as good under pressure as most quarterbacks who are in his range. He gets a little bit razzled every once in a while, and we know he can make mistakes. But Justin Fields, for all his faults in week one, his strongest outcome against the Green Bay Packers was actually when they blitzed. Between his legs and being able to extend the pocket and then push the ball down Fields as a rusher, and for him to pass on against the blitz was actually his best passing numbers, completing over 60% of his passes, right? So I think that this is a perfect clash and another reason and another example of a week two line being too reactive to a week one outcome. It's something that I don't want to put too much weight into to this point. And I think the 2.5 for the Chicago Bears is enough to keep this close and enough to cover. Now, obviously, if you're taking plus 2.5, you might want to sprinkle the money line as well, as if you're taking them 2.5, you have to believe they have a chance to win. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not a team to blow people out. I think it's close if the Bucs win. I think the Bears have a real chance to win this game. And again, the Bears have an outlook to be a little bit more frisky offensively than they were in week one. Their defense has its issues, but I'm not really worried about the Tampa Bay offense. So this might be a low-scoring game. It might be a slugfest. I think Fields will run the ball more here in week two as some of the other offensive ideas don't work out as well. And I think they could cover the 2.5 and possibly win this game. Another thing I'm just thinking about in general after week one, I wanted to say in the recap podcast earlier in the week that I kind of just didn't get to, something that I noticed in week one, and even again in week two, kind of proving my point. Week one, a lot of the times, feels like to me that coaches are trying to prove that the things that they planned on and worked on in the offseason as these new parts of strategy to their game are worth it and make sense and are going to push this team forward. So, for example, the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe they don't want to rush Jalen Hurts as much as they did last year because they want to keep him healthy, they want to extend his passing game, and they want to use all those great weapons they have. Week one, Jalen Hurts, 2 design rushes, no touchdowns, and it is what it is. Now in week two, what did we see with the Philadelphia Eagles? We saw them get into the goal line and say, let's do what we trust and give Jalen Hurts a shot. And he did what he had to do, and he ran the ball. I think Justin Fields is in a similar ilk, only 2 designed runs in that first game against the Green Bay Packers. That's insane. Their best weapon on offense is Justin Fields running the football. Week one was about that coaching staff saying, oh, we're going to do a lot more in the passing game with Justin Fields. We're going to use Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert to run the ball effectively. And then you get down early, you force him into bad passing situations, and we know what happened against the Packers in week one. now in week two against an offense that will not be as frisky as the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears will say, okay, now it's time to be real, to use our strengths and have Justin Fields run the football. I think that's going to happen in this game. I think they're going to get beat by the Blitz or the Buccaneers, and the Bears cover plus 2.5. For my third pick, I'm going with a teaser. I'm going to try to do maybe one teaser a week, only if I like it. I'm going to take the three best bets that I like every single week. And for my third bet, I am going to go with a little bit of a teaser here. I'm going to put the Indianapolis Colts from plus 1.5 up to plus 7.5 at the Houston Texans. And then lastly, I'll take the Washington Commanders from plus 3.5 to plus 9.5. Now, that's not your standard teaser. Oh, well, it is a 6-point standard teaser, but it's not your by the book teaser, especially what I like to do. When I do teasers, I do like to cross that 3 and cross that 7. So anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 up to 7.5, 8.5, anywhere from 8.5, 7.5 down to 2.5 and 1.5. This is 3.5 against the Denver Broncos in Denver, but I'm taking the Commanders at plus 9.5. I'll start with that one. The Broncos won 5 games last year, none of which were by 10 points or double digits at all. They won 1 game by 9, and it was the game that Brett Rypien started at quarterback. So with Russell Wilson, they did not even win a game by 9 points. They won all their games by 1 score, and I believe that's going to be similar this year for the Denver Broncos. Even if they're better and more consistent on offense, their bread and butter, their strength is defense and keeping games close, and they're not going to win a lot of games 30-10, 35-14. It's just not in the cards for this Broncos offense and currently Russell Wilson. So back to my earlier point, a lot of these bets are bets on teams and bets against teams. I am betting against the idea that the Denver Broncos can win a game by double-digit points. They didn't do it once last year, and I don't expect much of it this year. On top of that, the Washington Commanders have a frisky enough offense to stay in this game. I expect it to be low scoring, and their defense is very, very good. So you're getting two good defenses, two mediocre at best offenses, and 9.5 points. Another good rule of thumb is if you're taking a good chunk of points over a touchdown worth of points, you kind of want to be in those games with the smaller over-unders, assuming that the game's going to be close. The Washington Commanders and Denver Broncos over-under is currently at 39, and I could easily see this game at its worst case scenario for the Washington Commanders being a 21-13 type of matchup. Worst case scenario. I think it'll be closer than that. I do lean towards the Washington Commanders at plus 3.5, but getting them at 9.5 made me feel all the more comfortable about making them one of my legs in my teaser. The second leg, similar, Colts plus 1.5 up to plus 7.5 against the Houston Texans. The Colts kind of surprised me a little bit in week one. I thought their defense looked very solid against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars actually kind of scored in unique ways, and it was close in the second half until the very end where they kind of just pulled away at the end there. I don't expect the Texans to have that same sort of juice that the Jaguars had in week one. And the Colts defense that looked stronger than I expected, an offense that was more productive than I expected to keep this thing close. Right now, this goes against my rule of thumb a little bit. All the sharp money kind of coming in on the Houston Texans right now. 50% of the bets on the Texans, 84% of the cash at minus 1. So if that's not fishy to you, I don't know what is. But getting this up to plus 7.5 for the Colts makes me feel incredibly confident because you got two rookie quarterbacks. You got two decent defenses in the Texans and the Colts, and you got guys looking to not make big mistakes and play smart football, get the ball downfield to receivers when they can, but also control the run game, do a good job, keep this thing close. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get them plus 7.5. You're going to get the Commanders plus 9.5, and you're going to feel great about this teaser. Anthony Richardson, pretty solid. A lot better than a lot of people expected in that debut. Some talent on that offense to help them just move along. They also got down into the red zone and the Jaguar side of the field multiple times without scoring in week one. So it shows some proof of concept that the offense can be productive this time around, maybe more field goals in a closer game, maybe less of a risk it for the biscuit mentality and trying to beat a top dog in the AFC South in the Jaguars and try to just get one win over the Houston Texans and at minimum keep this thing close. So Colts plus 7.5. Commanders plus 9.5. That's my third pick. That's all we got. Subway Sports Talk. Again, shout out to Pat Boyle hosting tonight on Subway Sports Talk with Cody O'Connor and Mark Shanlugan. And there's my pick. So four of us, three more picks each. Hopefully another winning week for the boys. Combined 7-5 in week one. Mark, me, Cody, all 2-1, Pat 1-2. Looking for a clean sweep of winners this week here in week two. Don't forget to hit us on social media at Subway Sports Talk on Instagram and TikTok, at Subway Sports Talk TLK on Twitter, X, whatever. And you can always follow the picks there as well. Give us your picks, give us your thoughts, give us who you think might do the best out of the four of the boys here on Subway Sports Talk. We'll be doing this all year. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.